Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. I am your host, Amage. It's been 3 weeks, guys. I almost forgot how to even run the show. So, I'm always joined by my co-host, blah, blah, blah. I think that's how it used to go. Let's start with CGF. What's up, CGF?
What's up, darling? It's been a while.
It has been a while. I almost forgot how to host this show. Not like it fucking matters anymore.
Yeah, it's been a while, you know. It's the last couple of weeks have been fun dealing with house stuff. As I told you offline, I just moved into a new home and just been having all sorts of issues. So other than that, I guess there's some giant stuff to talk about later and some other things. So good to see you, man. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to be back. Glad to have everyone back. Murph, looking, I don't know what's going on with you, Murph. You got that Rangers playoff beard going on. It's thicker. It's darker for some reason. I don't know.
It's the lighting, man. I already told you. I got all the colors of the rainbow for the rainbow month.
You should just let it go. You should let it go gray like mine, man, after watching
the last couple of years. Don't you worry. I'll be there pretty damn soon.
Kind of, you know who you almost kind of look like, Murph? Henrik Lundqvist.
Thanks, man.
Nah.
Appreciate that.
Nah, I mean, I'm lying, but whatever. Makes you feel good, right?
Well.
And Murph, since the last time that we probably had a podcast 3 weeks, you are, again, permanently suspended from Twitter.
I am, and it feels great. I no longer use social media unless it's Instagram because it's less text, more pictures.
So we just communicate now via LinkedIn.
Correct.
What did you do?
LinkedIn and Yahoo. I think it'd be pretty disrespectful for the time of the year being that it's Pride Month to go into detail on that subject right now. We could probably, you know, keep it for next month, possibly as a talking point.
Or maybe we could just leave it off the podcast altogether so this way we don't get canceled.
Maybe. We'll see. But like out of respect of the month of June, we probably shouldn't speak about that right now.
So I want to report July 1st.
I
think we just leave the report alone. I mean, personally,
okay.
I think we just leave the report alone. Murph is currently in the upside down, so we'll just leave them there for those fans of Stranger Things. So, but since we did talk last,
I didn't get that.
It's a Stranger Things reference.
Don't watch it.
Oh my God, Stranger Things, possibly one of the greatest shows ever created. With the most 80s nostalgia anyone could possibly ask for.
It is a good show. I will.
But you said you don't watch it. How do you say it's a good show?
I've seen season one. Just not a religious.
Hey, Murph, by the way, do you like my new hat, Murph?
I do, actually. I was going to comment on that. That's something that I would wear. I would probably look a lot better in it. But I do like it. I would like to get a similar one, but all gray. All the way around. But
I like the trucker hats. My wife was yelling at me because
it would look better on me, though.
Last one had turned yellow, so from all the sweat stains. So, they actually have a lot of nice retro ones. Yeah, so we can talk about the Rangers because I was actually going to bring that up. Since the last time that we've been on this podcast, I was trolling you guys, and the Rangers currently lead 2-1 in the Eastern Conference Final. So, I mean, I'll let you guys talk about it.
So first of all, I know our listeners can't see, but I have gray Bird Dog gym shorts on. I have a Giants dry fit t-shirt on and a backwards Rangers hat. So this has been the fit every single game that we have won for the Rangers. And last game, I was coming back from the pool a little late getting home. Changed midway. Didn't have it on for the whole game and they lost. So we're getting back on tonight. Got the game fit on and, Yeah, man. No, but for real, the Rangers have been on a tear, dude. Like, what they've done really this playoffs is pretty magical. I think CGF would be in agreement with that. But, they got to be beat like we were talking CG.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, my way of handling the Rangers has been not watching because I'm bad luck. So I made the mistake the last game to actually turn it on. They were up 2-0. And I'm like, oh, you know, they're going to be fine. I'll watch. Nope. Big mistake. And then they scored with, you know, towards the end of the game. I'm just like, forget it. I'm not watching again. I don't care if they're up 6-0 in the clinching game of the Stanley Cup final. I'm not watching until the final horn goes. I'm not doing it. So let's go Rangers. That's what I have to say.
Well, I think luckily for you guys, ever since I've been trolling the Rangers, every game that I have watched, the Rangers have won.
So yeah, because they've won pretty much all but one as of late.
She's starting.
Yeah, I mean, he's on fire. He's having a historical year. But, I mean, tonight's really going to come down to legs, dude. I mean, Tampa's obviously been rested for a while, and everybody was saying, you know, oh, they got the rest. They'll be great for this series. And then it was kind of like, oh, they got too much time off, and now they're back into the win category. So the Rangers got to make a statement tonight. I mean, this is a huge
just spread of hope. I mean, honestly, the Rangers looked like they had Tampa Bay up against the ropes.
They did, the first two
games, because the Rangers coming out, their biggest issue was being able to score goals. And then they had no problem doing that at the end of their last series and then coming out versus Tampa Bay. They had no issue scoring goals. But I'll tell you what, though, I wouldn't be surprised. Be careful now, because Tampa Bay gaining that momentum, scoring that goal with 43.6 left in the third, momentum could end up swinging the other way. Rangers are still a very young team, so –
What happened to them the other night was basically what they've been doing to teams for the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, let's see if they can respond to adversity, but it's going to be huge tonight. And if they don't score in the first – and I've said this the entire time, because this is kind of the recipe for the Rangers. If they don't score early and often, they're not winning. It's just kind of how it is. Like, the Rangers have this this rhythm they get into, and – they're always sluggish in the third. So, got to score in the first. Who's the bald woman on here?
Yeah, so we are joined by our trivia host for the night, because we hadn't introduced it yet, but we are pairing up with the Vet Alumni Pod, also known as a Scum Alumni Pod. A bunch of Eagles fans podcast, friends of ours, Don Gerard here, who is going to be hosting trivia tonight, but is also a huge Rangers fan. Or, I don't know, Murph, is he a huge Rangers fan? You say that?
I mean, honestly, this is a great time for my segment. So I was going to wait for the Philly guys to come on, but you asked me how I'm doing, Maj, and now that Don's here, I'm not fucking good. You two scheduled a podcast with Scum of the Earth Philadelphia on Eastern Conference Finals Game 4 of the Rangers. Like, what the fuck's going on here, Don? Like, I'm a fair weather fan. Don, are you just a bandwagon fan?
I did not know that this was going to happen.
Bro, I had the schedule. I gave the schedule to my wife. I gave the schedule to my wife.
Maj gave me two options.
Oh, so it's Maj's fault now.
He said, hey, you available this Thursday or Tuesday? I said, Thursday, I have something. This Tuesday I could do. You know, I came through my boys, man. Murph and the Maj, which I like.
Exactly. Why are you shitting on our guest, Murph?
I'm just, you know, a little frustrated that I can't be watching the Rangers, but
you just said that you went to a pool party. You went to a pool party and you missed part of the Rangers game. So I don't want to hear shit. You missed it for a fucking pool party.
You said you went to the pool or something.
And I had a pool party. I got home late.
Filled up with some floaties.
Into my game.
Hey, if it was a pool party and some honeys there, you know, I'd be great for the Rangers game too. That's what I mean.
See?
But I already said, you know, my luck. I don't watch the Rangers because they lose when I watch them. So you tell me next time there's a pool party, I'll go.
You really believe that in your heart? That you are the reason that the Rangers lost. Do you realize the world does not revolve around you, and that you have no effect on any game whatsoever, whether you watch, whether you attend, whether anything? It's nonsense, okay?
My uncle is buried under Madison Square Garden. He's buried under there. It's a burial site.
You're Italian, so you have some superstitious Italian you are. Take it away for a second and realize science. It doesn't matter. You can watch. It will. I guarantee you, you will have zero effect on the game.
Watch them win tonight. I'm telling you, I'm not watching though. But then watch them lose by nothing.
My left.
It always works out that way, though, right? Superstition, man. We're in that point.
I know. I used to think that we used to go to the Giant games in my 20s, and you know, we'd always say like if we drank Bud Light that day, they would win. And one time we had drank Heineken or something, they lost. We're like, we're never drinking Heineken at the tailgate again. Retards. Pardon me. I know this is a family friendly podcast. Okay.
Whoa, dude. Yeah.
I know, and it's
June, man. Come on.
Whoa. I know, man. I think I'm too unhinged. That's why I stay behind the scenes as like a producer type over a on air talent because, yeah.
Yeah.
Say things sometimes that are offensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's why you guys liked me actually when we met.
Pretty much.
I don't know about that. Your story was pretty cringeworthy, so I will say that much.
I did not initiate the chant. We will not speak of the chant. However, I was not the initiator of that chant. I'm not.
Yeah, I don't
that's,
think
that's pretty bad.
That was I don't bad. Think we should mention that. But no, the one thing that we haven't mentioned though is New York Giants football. So today was the start of mandatory camps. I mean, what are your thoughts? Let's start with you, CGF. Any takeaways?
Basically from what I heard today, there was a little rust. You know, we had the non-voluntary training camp last 10 days before that. And Jones looked pretty decent, but I guess today he was just a little bit off. I guess he threw a couple of bad throws. I mean, you can expect that. You're not going to have a great practice every time. It's a growing pain process. And I don't know like how long you expect it to go on, but it's going to be like this for a while when you're learning a new offense, but you know, no one's got hurt, you know, cross my fingers, you know, so far. So let's just hope that players continue to stay healthy for the most part, except for Thibodeau. And I don't really know what's going on there. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, the defense always gets off to a hot start. That's the hot button every single year. So I'm not, definitely not sweating that. I thought Tibbs just like tweaked a knee or something last week or in the mini camp.
I've heard different stories about that. I heard that he's going to be ready for training camp, and then I heard that he may not be ready for training camp. I think Dable's being a little bit elusive right now. So that's something to keep an eye on as we, you know, go through the next 2 months.
Well, BD did say that he was going to keep injuries very mum with the media. So
I got a very disturbing reply. I put a tweet out today with a hot take basically saying, out of my ass, you know, Nick Gates is going to recover from his injury and have a similar career as Giants great Richie Soibert. And I saw it. And license plate guy responded to my tweet and said, I don't know about that, buddy. Kind of. Wink, wink, because
yeah.
I said that because I was watching Talking Giants this morning with license plate guy on, and we can say what you want about Joe, but he's definitely dialed into the team. He knows a lot more than we do. He knows the players, and he's like, I don't know about Gates, man.
I saw that too.
Gates is not coming back, man.
He's not coming back. I saw that Talking Giants was a good interview with Joe.
Really good.
Yeah. And I, based on his demeanor, and you're right, he definitely is in the know on what's going on behind the scenes. I don't think he's coming back. I'd be very surprised if he does. I think he's got a good heart. I think, you know, a lot of us like him as a person, but obviously that injury is just, unfortunately, it was that severe. It's not going to be something that he's going to come back from. So you're right. You're 100%
right. Too. We signed how many interior offensive linemen? I think two or three in the offseason. Glow.
They got Garcia.
Feliciano.
Yeah. Feliciano, Garcia, and Glowinski. So
yeah, Glowinski. They also, and there's someone else.
So we knew. Maybe not. We knew. But I think Nick Gates is going to be one of those guys. No matter what happens, he's going to kind of be in the loop. I think he might take a personality sort of thing, whether it's, you know, social media or podcasting or whatever. But I think the Giants fans are very endeared to him for some reason. And I think specifically the moment where Nick Gates really showed that he bleeds blue is that Ram game when he was tussling with Aaron Donald. Because I don't know you guys, but I would not want to miss an Aaron Donald. And Nick Gates got in his face and was like, listen,
you're
doing this to my guys.
That was, I remember that game. I mean, the Giants, it was a moment. And that's the type of leadership. I think that was what earned him his captaincy. And, you know, unfortunately, it really sucks because I really feel he would have continued to develop. You know, you look at Sean O'Hara, very similar situation, kind of developed in the same type of like track. So, you know, who knows? Maybe there's a chance. But I, based on what I've heard and even seen on your interview today, I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah.
It just kind of leaves them pretty short in the center. Got a lot of guards.
Well, Lemieux's back. I mean, that's one thing I did hear, and that's just one player, obviously. But, you know, there were some rumors about trying to move Lemieux, kick him over into center. That's a developmental, you know. I think Feliciano is going to be probably starting, I guess, going into next season. Feliciano
will be, I think, the starting right guard. Glowinski is penciled in as a starting right guard. And I think they're – correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't been that in the loop. It's either Glowinski or – Feliciano at center, and then the other at right guard.
I think it's Glowinski at right guard and Feliciano at center.
Glowinski, yeah.
Yeah.
Lemieux did cross-train as a center his rookie season, I know, with Judge and the former Dallas Cowboy, who shall not name.
O-line really? Coach. I didn't know that. I mean, and then we got Bredesen, yeah, too, who can also snap. But
Murph, the Rangers are already down 1-0.
Yeah, I got it on right here. What, you didn't see me throw a fit?
No, I did not.
Yeah, dude, thanks for the update, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. That. Also updating our audience on the live scoring, so.
Because
they're listening. I mean, we're gonna mention Rangers. Going into Tampa, even if we come out 2-2, we still have home ice advantage. 3-1 is the choice, obviously, to win tonight. But if we lose this game, I'm not worried.
They've been lights out at home throughout the playoffs. So I mean,
yeah. So as long as you have home ice, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah,
Igor we plays get very well out underneath the garden lights. Plays very well. I think his goals against is like under 2 at home this playoffs. So.
As far as the Giants go, all right, DG, I'm the host of the show here. Let me run this, all right? Thank you. I apologize. When it comes to trivia, you can ask your questions from 1925. Who was the first Giants?
No. I did different this time.
Yeah, well, we brought the big guns. We got CG with us, so Murph and I don't look stupid. I mean, what is the name of the stadium that the Eagles play at?
In 1956.
With the Giants. Who had the most seasons with 10-plus sacks in while under 40-degree weather in Lambeau?
Those were tough.
But let me ask you guys, what are your concerns about Daniel Jones heading into the season?
Health. He has to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, this is his last chance. So if he doesn't stay healthy, it's over. So between now and the start of the season, he has to stay healthy. And on top of that, he has to learn the offense and he needs to come out. I think we've talked about this several times already on the podcast. He needs to come out hot. You know, it doesn't, no favors with the Tennessee game for being the first game. In my mind, I really think they need to win 2 out of the first 3 games just to have a good taste in the mouth for everyone in the fan base. So to answer your question, he needs to stay healthy and he also needs to start out strong. Cause if he doesn't, you're going to hear it, you know, just give it 4 weeks and people are going to be asking for Tyrod Taylor to play.
I really do think that this is an offense that he's going to be able to excel into. You know, Daniel Jones has always been a good deep ball passer. I think people kind of forget that aspect of it because Jason Garrett really didn't do him any favors with a lot of his comeback routes and stick routes. And, you know, if you look at Daniel Jones over the last 3 years, he's always excelled at passes in the intermediate game and 20 plus yards. So, you know, I think that's exactly what they're going to look for with this team. They're going to open it up. Sure, we're going to see a lot of underneath stuff, probably with Kadarius Toney, probably with Wandell Robinson, who Wandell Robinson has got glowing reviews in OTAs as well. But, I mean, there's a lot to be remained, or there's a lot that remains to be seen. But this is certainly going to be a make-or-break season for a lot of people, Saquon Barkley included. So we'll see.
Just one thing I want to add on Jones. So one of the things that came out, which, you know, I like to listen to PFF, and the thing about Jones, which the last 2 years under Garrett we have not seen, is the deep shots. And according to PFF, Jones last season was the best quarterback in the league at seven-step drops. You know,
well, that's not a PFF stat.
No, it isn't.
No, it's not a PFF stat, but again, I'll let you finish.
You know what? Well, if it's not, I'm sorry. But what I'm trying to get to is, you know, last season, you know, 22 out of 26, 330 yards, you know, three touchdowns, no interceptions, passer rating 157.2. You know, you want to look at the stats, he was misutilized the last two seasons. So I'm hoping going into next season, they do more of that.
The other two stats that were not included in that, which I did look up, is he also had the highest completion percentage on seven-step drops of all quarterbacks. He also had the highest on-target percentage of all quarterbacks also. So two categories that he also led in. And that was, and out of those 26 attempts, he was also sacked once and pressured 11 times. So, I mean, certainly, but, and Mr. Chris brought this up though, too. This is a good question. For an offensive line that was so bad, you would think that the seven step drops, he wouldn't have enough time in the pocket. So, I mean, what was it about the seven-step drops that really created that type of tempo or, I guess, completion percentage or being as high as it was for Daniel Jones?
I mean, the way the last 2 years have gone, anything that buys you a couple seconds, I mean, maybe him moving backwards just bought him enough time to get that ball off.
It's also the utilization of speed, man, because we don't have burners on this team. But I think one of those plays is probably that John Ross touchdown in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, Slayton had a few big plays this season. But I think it's actually utilizing your personnel and understanding when you have a couple burners and mismatches on the outside. Because where else would it have come from? Because he was constantly pressured. You know, we didn't run many deep routes. You know what I mean? So it was when we ran deep plays, utilizing our speedy personnel, is when he was successful. So, you know, with Jones, like, to add, and I'll shut up, but, you know, for me, like, I think he's got all the tools necessary to be a top 16 NFL quarterback. You know, he's got the arm talent, he's got the legs, you know, his footwork could use some work. He does crumble under pressure at times and gets a little nervous and gets happy feet. But overall, you know, I think he's got the tools. He's just been misutilized, you know, through Jason Garrett. I mean, it was an issue.
To elaborate a little more on what CGF was talking about, which was the seven drops step, the completion percentage here, and there's a quarterback rating. So I asked the question about the seven-step drops. When did that lead to more pressures, more sacks? Right. So when do you think – I'll ask CG this question real quick. When do you think most of those long attempts would come? On what down?
First down.
All right. Yeah. 22 out of 26 pass attempts came on first down. Only 4 attempts on second down, 0 on third and fourth down. So you would think, right, maybe they would be in a third and 16 situation. That's when a lot of those deeper pass attempts might come. Not under Joe Judge, because they played more conservatively. So you're right. A lot of those pass attempts, 22 of them came on first down. 3 of them in the first quarter, 8 in the second quarter, 6 in the third, and 10 in the fourth quarter. So that would allude to more of them playing from behind. But again, they're taking the shots early on first down when opposing defenses probably were expecting it the least. He was sacked twice on one-step drops, 0 to one-step drops. He was sacked 11 times on a three-step drop. He was sacked 6 times on 5-step drops and only sacked once on the 7-step drops. So reason why we went through all those stats is we just tried to piece together any information that we could, and honestly, we still came up with absolutely nothing. Nothing that we can derive from the Jason Garrett offense that would allude to Daniel Jones' success, but I think we all look at 2019 and what Pat Shurmur did. I think that's what we're kind of expecting out of Dable in this offense for Daniel Jones.
I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say, man. It's just, I look at Shurmur, and it's okay if he turns the ball over, man. He's got to cut those fumbles down, obviously, and keep those down. But, like, I don't give a fuck if he goes out there and throws 16 TDs or interceptions next year. As long as he's got 35 touchdowns, like, again, he can turn it over through the air. It's completely fine. Let the kid sling the ball and let him do what he likes to do. And that's – it was refreshing when Dabbs came in here and was like, you know, asking him what he likes to do, right? And you got to think that he's going back to Shurmur days and his college days, like when he was able to unleash his arm. So, I mean, I'm right with you, Mish. Rookie year is what you got to look like for Daniel.
Got the talent to do it. We've seen it. We've seen it on an NFL field before. Just like I said, the great Bill Parcells said, best ability is availability. And that's my biggest issue with him right now, really. I mean, he's young. He's 25 now, 26, not even. You know, he's going to grow mentally. The game's going to come slower to him. It's really about him getting hurt. And I don't blame that on the offensive line. You know, he needs to learn how to protect his body. I mean, the guy's tough as nails. He takes shots. He goes into linebackers as if he's like, you know, a running back. Like, the kid's got balls. So, you know, he needs to learn to protect his body a little bit more and just not, you know, expose himself to these injuries, because 3 years a starter, 3 years injured, you know, it's no bueno. That'll end your career sooner than later.
I think just the good news is we'll find out one way or another. You know, this year we'll find out if he's going to be our quarterback or if we're going to be looking to go elsewhere.
Just for our non-Spanish speaking audience, there was no bueno. That means no good. So I just wanted to throw that out there, because that's what you get here. You get education on multiple ends, maybe not the football aspect of it, because we don't know what we're talking about. But
where are these Philadelphia scumbags?
Yeah, so apparently they don't know how to use a cell phone. We are waiting for them to call in. They say, give them a minute. They'll be in shortly. So we'll see.
They're going down the street to the fucking payphone.
You know they're going to come in here real cocky, guys. So we got to, like, have our scoops up.
They're coming. Straight to James Bradbury talk. Straight to it.
Straight James Bradbury.
And I'm going to give them
How long is this trivia going to take, DJ?
You know what? I came up with a very – because I know Murph complained it was a little long last time, and you guys complained it was too hard.
It was hard.
So I did 11 questions.
Funny, Murph has never complained to me it's too hard.
Hey!
Oh!
And they're well thought out and have answers. We're going to get some education as well this time, you know. When we give the answer to the multiple choice, I also have some stats to back it up and facts. And it's all related to Giants, Eagles type teams. So, you know, if Mage calls me up and says, you need something, bro, I got you. And I took a couple hours and I thought out 10 really nice questions.
All right. Because they were giving us 20 minutes. So, but I do want to get some of their feedback on things like James Bradbury and Darius Slay being a top.
Oh, they had a lights out off season with the acquisition of Bradbury, the cherry on top. But they traded for AJ Brown. They got Jordan Davis, who in my opinion was at least a top 10 player in this draft.
Those interior defensive linemen are so underrated.
They are, man. Like the guys, I'm forgetting the name. The guy that's in the 49ers and went to the Colts is a stud.
Brooklyn.
Stud, you know, Chris Jones, like, he's got that potential and maybe even higher. Even Jeffrey Simmons now is making a lot of waves in Tennessee, who I liked a lot coming out of college. So, you know, they had a fantastic draft. They had some great trades. But guess what? They still don't have a quarterback.
Well, yeah.
Not dying this hill.
That's the other thing.
But then, trash.
But then the thing is, yeah, I'm not sure we could roast him too much either. But some of us are believers in Daniel Jones.
You know what? Everyone thought they were going to be horrible last year and they made the playoffs. Let them think they're going to win the Super Bowl or the NFC. You know, and then they win five games and we can just kind of go, ha-ha.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I just need to at least split with them, man. Like, again, we're so close.
Eagles,
I think so too, man. I really do. I think they're going to be very good this year. Our division, our opponents that we're playing this year are weaker. We're playing who? Jacksonville, Houston, Colts, right? And then another weaker NFC division. So Eagles, Cowboys should be good. I mean, they should. So our biggest thing, man, is to find out if Jones is the guy or not. You guys all know this. Like, everything else is secondary. Stay healthy this year. Watch young players develop. You know, Saquon is 50-50. It's all about if Daniel Jones is the guy or not. Because if not, it's a big to-do to get a new quarterback. big position. Big things.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we actually finished week 18 against the Eagles. So that it would be nice for that game to mean something.
It would.
It'd be nice to have meaningful football in the end of October.
Speaking of which, the NFL draft has become such a spectacle over the years, and our fellow Giants Twitter homie Tap and I had a blast out in Vegas. So I don't give a shit. You all better be in Kansas City next year. All right? Murph, Mage, any other buddies we have, CG, CJ. I thought he was Frank the Tank at first.
Well, I'm happy.
I told you, right?
He looks like him.
I told you. I was calling him Frank. I was calling him Frank.
I thought he was Frank at first. Nice to meet you, man. I don't know if we ever met before, but.
No, man.
I'm Don.
Hey, TG. TG.
I thought that you were Frank the Tank. I'm like, that's why I said you're Italian-ness. I thought you were Frank.
Yeah.
My bad, man.
I'm his twin brother.
Nah, Frank's awesome.
It's the gray beard. That's what it is. It's the gray beard.
Yeah, such a blast.
He must have not had enough quarters for their fucking payphone.
What's up, gentlemen?
There they are. They ran out of quarters. They found them.
Yeah, we luckily plenty of payphones here.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, it's about time we are joined by the Scum Alum Podcast. I'm sorry, that wasn't nice of me. This is the Vet Alumni Podcast. We kid because we care. That's why. So we are joined by Prem and B-Rad from Malibu's Most Wanted.
Here we go with the nonsense.
Did you expect anything less, Ted?
No, I did not. I didn't.
So,
I expected it 1,000%.
All right. So we got Technique from the Vet Alumni Podcast and Prem. So what's going on, boys? How are you? I had to start with the trolling.
Yeah, well, you know, it falls right in line with the mage mindset.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you guys aren't going to let me live down that Joe Judge comment, so I had to come out with some knives.
Never. You will never live it down.
I got one for you. What's the verdict on Judge?
Mm-hmm. Let's hear
it. Do you want to hear the real verdict on Judge? Or do you want
to
hear
it to us raw. Give it to us raw.
Well, he fucking sucked, but he got fucked.
I agree, Murph, 100%.
He didn't get
when you have a frontal office of that caliber.
Correct, but that wasn't the question. You're taking digs. But yeah.
What happened with Gettleman? I thought Gettleman was the man. He's the guy.
Isn't he supposed to hop on this call?
Where is he?
He's here.
He's here.
DJ, say hello, DJ.
These scumbags. 90 miles south of me right here. Now.
I'm on Cape Cod drinking my Rolling Rock or my Boston Lager.
But yeah, they're right now standing in 6 inches of cheesesteak grease, right? Making out with each other before they call. That's why they were late. That's what it was. It's Pride Month.
Well, wait a minute. The fake gentleman broke kayfabe on Twitter already, so we know it's not the real deal.
He
couldn't get Twitter on.
Nobody likes the account anymore. Only guys that like me are you guys. I used to get so much engagement on my tweets. I get nothing now. I get zero.
And we don't even like you. We just keep you around to feel better about ourselves.
Exactly.
Well,
I don't know what would give you guys the impression that we represent a fan base of a team that is lesser than your team.
Well, yeah, because, you know, we don't have a rapper like Kadarius Toney on our squad.
That's right.
Oh, hold on. Before you get too deep into it, it's almost that time of the year. So how are we feeling about Howie? You know, we all over Howie's had about, nuts. We fucking
he had
love
about as
Howie
good of an
right
season
now.
As anybody could have when you think about it. Wait, what did the guy not do? What did he not do?
This is the summer.
He didn't get a quarterback for him.
Every year, Eagles fans just
wait a minute.
Hold on, Murph. Let them talk.
Hold on. Did a Giants fan just say that the Eagles need a quarterback?
Wait, who really needs a quarterback?
Oh my God!
Which team has ran with Daniel Jones now for 5 years?
You put these two quarterbacks in front of me. I'll tell you whose arrow is pointing up, guys. Let's be honest. Come on.
Well, yeah, your backups.
I mean, the delusion is just
Gardner Minshew,
so permeated.
Gardner Minshew's the best quarterback on that roster right now.
Gardner Minshew is 100% the best quarterback on
Gardner Minshew is better than your quarterback. Gardner Minshew is better than your quarterback.
You guys are lost.
Our backup is better than your starter, and we need the quarterback?
So, all right, here we go.
We're a quarterback factory.
Yes, the question, so I'll answer.
We weren't going to go down this road, so Mays,
as if,
CG,
as if I'm not even an Eagles
this.
Fan. We'll address this as if I'm not even an Eagles fan, right? Just a football fan, period. You look at what the Eagles actually did. So you're coming off a 9-win season. Obviously, nobody expected us to go to the playoffs to begin the season. Most people didn't. We do. Go into the offseason with that experience. You had a first-year coach combo with a quarterback that has that experience under their belt. And you add a top-5 receiver in the world, number one. You add a Pro Bowl edge rusher.
Yes.
You draft arguably a top-3 talent at linebacker out of the draft.
Yeah.
In the third round, you steal him. You get Fletcher Cox's replacement. You get Jason Kelce's replacement in the draft. You add a piece that you didn't even necessarily have to do, but you did it anyway because you were weak at CB2. So you add CB2 that is an improvement from Steven Nelson.
Absolutely.
And you add Kaiser White, another linebacker from the Chargers. You got good at every single level of the team except for safety.
Yeah.
Objectively, that's what happened.
Yes.
So you go from that 9 wins to that. You know, you're gonna win 2 games just in the fact that AJ Brown is gonna convert a third down late in the fourth quarter that you never would have converted without him on your team.
Prem,
that's gonna happen.
You said Pro Bowl edge rusher. Just remind me, who did the Eagles get?
Hassan Reddick.
That's right.
Yeah, I know it sucks.
So wait,
it wasn't a guy.
AJ Brown is.
Sold on Hassan Reddick. I mean, the guy's done a lot in terms of sack production, but he's only done it over the last 2 years. So, hey, look,
we haven't had a linebacker since Jeremiah Trotter, though.
Yeah,
so, like we're going to linebackers be dead.
I know I give you guys a lot of shit, but the Eagles really did have a really good offseason. But the Eagles still have.
Thank you.
The Eagles still have a lot of question marks in terms of it. Again, just like the Giants, right? We could point fingers at both sides, but
the quarterback play.
That's still going to be a question mark too. Now you guys have Boston,
for both teams, for the Giants as well.
No, yes. I agree. I'm not saying this. I'm not trying 100%. To troll you here. The quarterback play, and then also too, what is Miles Sanders going to be this year? Miles Sanders was supposed to be his breakout stud. You guys, I mean, your best running back on the roster has been Boston Scott.
Yeah, Boston Scott's amazing.
Here's the thing,
Mage. A couple years ago when you drafted a guy like Miles Sanders, you're thinking, okay, maybe they drafted a bell cow type of top-tier running back.
He isn't that.
No, he's not. But you know what? On this roster, the way it's constructed right now with guys like Kenny Gainwell and, like you said, Mage, Boston Scott, he doesn't have to be a lead back of any caliber, but he's still a home run hitter. he's still going to probably play hard because he's not getting another contract from the Eagles. So he's going into a contract year where he's going to hustle a little more so he gets paid in the offseason, and he can just be a piece. He just has to be a piece. He doesn't have to be it.
Yeah.
Just like all the other pieces on this offense, they're just a piece. You know, you have three high-end receiving options now when you look at A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. You have a solid 1-2-3 receiving option. You have a solid slot corner on the defensive side with Avante Maddox. You have a lot of fringe players that are in the right spots. The question is just going to become, how good is the safety play going to be, and can the offensive line hold up? Because if it does, it's an elite offensive line.
Yeah, and obviously Jalen Hurts as well. I mean, there's
that's the real key. If he just improves on reading defenses just 10%
more. Yeah, he needs to be a little more consistent.
Of course, consistent
on hitting those throws.
Going into his third year, I mean, his second year starting, you know, the guy's gonna improve. He's not gonna stay just like this. He's gonna improve.
Yeah.
Would you
agree that the Eagles did overachieve last year, though?
It's a tough one. I had 9 wins on your show last year. I said 9 wins before the season started.
Yes, you did.
So I think we pretty much did what I expected. Yeah, I mean, I understand why you would be. You know, our schedule was pretty brutal for a minute there, though.
Yeah.
Well, and I didn't believe in Sirianni.
Will you shut the fuck up and let him answer?
I didn't believe in Sirianni, man. I fried y'all on Sirianni.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a young coach. He's under 40 years old. The league's been trending that way with the young guys.
Yeah.
You know, but he's going to improve, too. He's not even calling the plays, though. Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator, who took over midway through the year last year, and the offense was noticeably better when he took over the play calling.
That's when you started going off on the ground, right?
Pretty much, I think, yeah. It's worth noting that, you know, Jalen Hurts last year had a better year on the ground than Mike Vick ever had in his entire career. I didn't realize that until I read that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he put up numbers comparable to, like, what Lamar Jackson was putting up.
He's just got to improve his accuracy, and we've got some.
But when you got a guy like Brown now that's going to catch probably 25% more of the questionable throws than other guys are going to catch, his completion percentage by virtue of having that as your A receiver is just going to go up.
Another guy, though, that has to stay healthy for the Eagles.
Do you really
honestly think in your deranged Philadelphia brain that A.J. Brown is a top 5 receiver in the league? Like,
absolutely. To be fair,
they also think Darius Slay is a top 5 cornerback in the league. So, everybody on the Eagles is top 5 at their positions.
No. You can bicker over where A.J. Brown is. But
I think A.J. Brown and Darius Slay are top 10 players at their.
Yeah, that's fair. But when it comes to yards after catch, only Deebo Samuel right now in the NFL is better after the catch. And when you have third and four, third and five, those plays are not getting converted when you don't have a guy like Brown running a slant and you got a guy like Greg Ward running a slant, for example. These make a difference, and it's the hidden yardage in the game that he's going to get after the catch. It's just true. When you look at his yards after the catch numbers, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, A.J. Brown, and that's something that's been lacking for us since we had a guy named T.O., honestly. So you got to look at that, and it's just true. In the fourth quarter, he's going to be a go-to guy. When we weren't converting those third downs last year, we were losing games by one score, a lot of games by one score. Those games won't be losses as frequently with a target like that that can be your go-to. That's what I'm getting at with A.J. Brown.
I hear Hurts. I hear Gainwell. I hear Devonta Smith. I hear A.J. Brown. No mention of Jalen Reagor. Why not?
Well, you don't really have to. I mean, it's just true. You don't have to. Now, while it was another failed first-round pick, which, you know, there's a handful of those.
Yes, there are.
It's true. While he was, now with the addition of Brown, you still have Greg Ward on your roster. You still got a burner like Quez Watkins. Reagor just probably is going to be your punt returner, and maybe he'll get a few looks.
He's the worst returner I've ever seen, ever.
Well, gentlemen, enough about the birds. We've been talking about the birds.
Howie Roseman wised up and said, I'm just going to start trading my draft picks since I'm no good at picking them, and then just get bona fide studs.
Well, whatever his thought process was, I mean, he really has only really had issues with the what are supposed to be slam dunk picks.
Because he's admitted that those were mistakes by the moves that he made.
Right. I mean, but you ended up stealing Landon Dickerson last year.
Yeah.
You ended up stealing the Kobe Dean this year. A few years ago, you stole your left tackle with the future Jordan Mailata in the seventh round. There's a lot of picks he's had that are overshadowed by his critics by the moves that didn't work.
Yeah, whereas not getting DK Metcalf, not getting Justin Jefferson.
Meanwhile, 30 teams passed on DK Metcalf.
Right.
You know what I mean? So Howie's clearly a top 10 GM, and he cemented that this offseason. But
one
what about
point.
The Giants? I was like, wait, where are you guys about the Giants? Where are you at?
One last point right about now? The what Eagles. One last point about the Eagles real quick, and I'll answer your question about the Giants. And I don't mean this to troll. I don't. But the Giants had a really good season under a guy by the name of Ben McAdoo, who supposedly a Giants gave him the head coaching position to keep him away from the Eagles. So I know you guys are excited about Nick Sirianni, but I want to see it a second season. It could just certainly be one of those one and done guys. So as far as the Giants go, I'll keep it there with the coaching carousel. In terms of a roster, I think that we're not quite there yet in terms of being able to compete with, let's say, the Eagles. I do think that a lot of things are coming into place. The thing that I was most excited about is the coaching staff that the Giants put together along with the GM. And you kind of saw Brian Daboll and Joe Shane at the Rangers game, and they're together, they're cheering it on. And then, you know, the crowd erupted for Daboll, and then they went even louder for Joe Shane. Like, I like where this team is heading. It seems like that they finally got the front office fixed under John Mara, who refused to relinquish any control. Seems like he finally wised up. Thankfully, he didn't give Joe Judge a 20-year deal that I wanted. But, you know, I mean, he wised up. He relinquished control to a guy that seemingly knows what he's doing, that's liked around the league in Joe Shane. Brian Daboll was the guy that I wanted in the event that we got rid of Joe Judge, and I think that worked out well. Then we got Tierney, who came over from Buffalo. We got Kafka, who's going to end up calling the plays from Kansas City. Yeah. And then we got Wink Martindale, who, I mean, honestly, it just held that Ravens defense together for so long. Last year wasn't that great because, you know, he had his secondary was completely depleted. But when I grade the Giants offseason, I think the best thing that we did came in terms of the assembling the coaching staff. It's not even the players. The Giants had no money this year to really dabble into free agency. But I think that we finally got the right front office staff in place, and we finally got the right generals on the field in place.
Yeah, well, I mean, you would hope so. It's been a tough go as far as like making the playoffs. Would you say that if Daniel Jones obviously doesn't perform this year, delivering 8 wins, 8 and 9, which would be an improvement,
especially with the new coaching staff here?
Will
he be there?
Well, how many wins does Daniel Jones need for you for him to remain the guy?
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's probably 7-8 is that good benchmark. I mean, but we're looking at us fans, at least my guys here, I think we're looking more at Daniel's development himself than what this team's going to be. Because, I mean, I'm a little bit more down on them, but I don't really expect many wins. But I need Daniel to be throwing for, you know, probably over 27 TDs.
If Daniel Jones throws for close to 4,000 yards, over 30 touchdowns, we'll give him a 2-to-1 ratio. Let's say 30 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and that they still end up somewhere near the middle of the pack. But let's say that the offense goes from being 25th to, let's say, even top 10. That's going to be a drastic improvement. I think that's going to be a point to possibly keep Daniel Jones around. Because, again, the wins, I don't know how many that they're going to get. And I know that the quarterback gets a blame for the wins. But this is a developing team. I think what we really want to see for so many – the last 2 years under Joe Judge, it's been the defense that's really kept us together. And the offense has really been more to blame. So I think we could be looking at an uptick in offensive production this year with a downtick in defensive production. What's up, CG?
What I think is – and I look at Jones this way. I think anyone who's a reasonable Giants fan is looking at 7-8 wins. That would be – kind of what you're looking at, what I think will solidify Jones going forward with the Giants is he has to raise the team up, meaning which the Giants need to win, like, in my mind, 10 games, make the playoffs, you know, maybe win the first round. It's the tough schedule, boys.
That's a tough schedule. Yeah.
No, I'm being honest, and I'm just talking about the New York fan base here. You know, the New York fan base is pretty much given up on Jones, a lot of it. And unless he can raise the play of the rest of the team this season, and I do agree a 2-to-1 ratio, 35 touchdowns, 10 to 15 interceptions would be really good. But I'm looking more at, can he be the franchise quarterback going forward? Can he raise this team up to win some games that we haven't won in the past? You know, I mean, I give you guys a ton of credit. You know, you kicked our asses for the last, you know, 10, 15 years, ever since we won the Super Bowl. I mean, you've been beating us consistently. We need to win our divisional games. And in order to do that, we need a quarterback who's going to transcend us and bring us up. And to this point, unfortunately, Jones has not been able to do that. I believe, you know, me as a Giants fan, I believe a lot of that was because the last two seasons, it's been because of scheme, you know, the Garrett scheme, it was not catered to his strengths. And we're going to see really quickly. But to answer your question, I think if Jones is the future quarterback, he has to raise his play and he has to bring the team along with him.
And to piggyback off that for CG, like, the fan bases are, he's already lost them. He's not necessarily us sitting here right now, but like, he's lost the Giants fan base, in my opinion, the majority of it. It sucks and it's not fully his fault, but that's just kind of how it is. So like CG was saying, like, if he's not doing well by week four, like, they're going to be out with the pitchforks for sure. But
question. I mean, the fact that it's gone a half a decade.
Speaking of the division real quick, where do you guys envision the Giants finishing? I mean, ahead of Washington or?
I do think we're a better roster than Washington.
Yeah, I think the Giants probably finish third in the division ahead of Washington. And then it's going to be between you and the Cowboys battling it now for the first place.
I actually think you guys win the division. Yeah. I actually do.
I think Cowboys are taking
easy schedule. We have a very easy schedule. We definitely have a simple schedule when it comes down.
It's ironic, but did you see the strength of schedule? It came out maybe 2 months ago. The NFC East is literally like 26th, 27th, 28th, and like 29th in terms of. It's like the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Giants, and then the Redskins or something like that. Like, we are literally like one right after the other in terms of strength of schedule, back to back to back to back.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's the old saying in football that's always held true is you play who's on the schedule. And then you hope when you get to the playoffs that you have enough to beat a team maybe that wasn't on your schedule. It's upper echelon, but
strength
I mean, that's schedules, you know.
The strength of schedule is such bullshit anyway, because it's based on last season's records.
As
if teams haven't improved in the offseason, may not have changed coaching staffs. So it doesn't really matter anyway. Honestly, it means very little. So to your point, Brem, you got to beat the team that's on your schedule. You got to beat the team in front of you.
I will say, though, the NFC East does have a golden opportunity right now. Because in my opinion, the NFC period is pretty down with obviously the exception of the top heavy teams. But there's a golden opportunity there for an NFC East team to really like take a throne right now.
Well, Seahawks got weaker with the trade of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still not a big.
The whole conference got weaker. Conference got weaker, really.
Yeah, well, Packers lost Davante Adams as well. But again, Aaron Rodgers, I know losing Davante Adams is big, but no matter who you put in there, though, he'll create another wide receiver.
He ain't happy, though.
DG could play wide receiver with him throwing the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I could.
DG is a tight end, so. All right, so.
I'm more in the territory of free safety one, man. I'm 6'1". 215.
Well, that was another innuendo joke that just went right over your head. But anyway,
big time.
I know exactly what you're saying. Seventh grade humor. You know what I mean? Like, maybe if I was like 30 years ago, I'd be like, LOL. But right now, I'm just like,
well, that's amazing. What happens.
Like I said, he's amazing.
The reviews for these podcasts, it's like listen to a bunch of angry, drunk white men. So that's exactly the type of humor you're going to get, too.
You're tailoring. You're tailoring. Yeah. The algorithm.
So are we ready to start this trivia? You guys have any more questions?
Go ahead. Fire away. We got a few more minutes. We got another call at 9:15, but we got a couple.
All right, good. That's why I want to hurry it up. I know Murph won't shut up. So
we got 10 questions here. And since the vet alumni are the guests, we're going to start off with this one. It's going to be multiple choice. Okay.
Don't forget, GD, they only got 10 minutes. So
the record between the Giants and Eagles is currently at A, 91-89-1 Giants, B, 90-88-2 Eagles, C, 92-88-1 Eagles, or D, 90-88-2 Giants.
Man, that's a guess. I'm gonna have to go with B just because it is more games, and they've been playing since 1933, two times a year, right, or something like that.
Yeah,
I
agree with you.
Yeah, it's B, right?
You're correct.
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay, now you guys get the ball. You guys are maintaining the ball right here.
Oh,
now, since I met most, you guys maintain the ball here. Ball's yours. You know, since I met Murph and Mage and a lot of these other lovely, lovely, lovely humans on Twitter, which former or current Giants or Eagle player has the most Twitter followers? A, Eli Manning. B, Michael Strahan. C, Odell Beckham Jr. D, Terrell Owens.
What do you think, Tech? I'm thinking Strahan only because of his TV presence on AB. He's like on the shows and stuff.
I'm thinking Odell Beckham.
You think Odell has more followers?
Yeah, because he's a millennial. I stick with that.
Fair. All right,
I don't know though.
That's fair. It's probably one of the. All right, we'll go with Beckham on that.
You are correct, Technique, and you keep the ball.
Boom, rolling, right?
There we go, we're
picking
rolling.
Up, picking up where we left off there.
The Eagles are doing like they've done to us in the past decade. Okay, of these four players, this is a very good question, by the way, you scumbags. Of these four players, who was the highest drafted? A, Michael Strahan. B, Randall Cunningham. C, Darius Slay. D, James Bradbury.
I think it's Bradbury, Tech. Wasn't he a high pick?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Bradbury was like a first-round pick, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I'm tempted to go with...
Randall wasn't a first-round pick.
No.
And neither was... who was the second guy you said, DJ?
Darius Slay. Strahan, Cunningham, Darius Slay, and James Bradbury.
I'm going to go with Bradbury.
I think it's Bradbury.
I think some crazy.
I think it's Bradbury. We're going with Bradbury.
And Bradbury was actually the latest drafted of them all. Michael Strahan was drafted at number 40 in the second round, 93.
Oh,
Randall,
wow. Okay.
In 1985, 37. Slay in 2013, 36. That's the answer. And Bradbury in 2016 was 62. All second round picks.
Oh, wow.
It all goes over to Clapback. This is a tough one, Clapback, guys. I still have that there PTSD from this, but we're going to ask it to you anyway. In 2017, Jake Elliott hit a game-winning field goal to seal the deal for the Eagles. How long was that field goal? A, 61. B, 60. C, 62. D,
63. I think it was
63. I thought it was
61.
But
I think it's D.
I think it was 63.
All right. Well, I'll go with CG. I'll defer.
And it was indeed 61.
Yeah.
That was on my birthday.
All
yeah,
we goes both knew that was back. 61.
Always listen to the mage.
I knew that.
63 was the Panthers game.
I knew it was one
question
of
them. Five.
Yes, the
question number five.
The Graham Gunnell.
2-0. 2-0. Question five.
All right. Name the one player who did not play in a regular or postseason game for the Giants and Eagles. A, Sean Landetta. B, Frankie Ferrara. C, Dave Tollefson. And D, Carlos Emmons. Who did not play for both teams?
B. It's B, the second option you said.
I would definitely
Frank
go
with Ferrara.
I don't even know who that is.
It's Ferrara, I think, yeah.
I don't even know who that is.
And Frank Ferrara actually both played for both the Giants and the Eagles. It was Dave Tollefson. who never played for the Eagles.
I thought Tollefson. Okay. Yeah, I knew the other guys played for both.
I don't know. That's
a deep dig right there.
Yeah, all goes back.
Dave Tollefson.
All goes back to Clapback. All right, Clapback. You ready? Come on, man. 2-0 right here.
All right.
What player on the 2017 Eagles Super Bowl championship roster has also played in a regular or postseason game for the Giants? A, Corey Clement. B, Will Beatty. C, Marcus Johnson. D, Corey Graham. All players on the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles cocksucking.
You said played in a regular season game with the Giants?
A regular or postseason game. These four guys were all on that roster. Which one played?
Can you read the answers again?
Well, Corey Clement was with the Giants for a little bit, but I believe
he got cut.
So
he played for the Cowboys.
Then you said Will Beatty?
Yeah. I mean, did they sign him when he was?
He may have been on the roster, just didn't play. He may have been a backup.
And then what were the last two real quick?
Marcus Johnson and Corey Graham.
I'm going with Marcus Johnson.
But you're saying they played in that Super Bowl with the
Jesus
Eagles.
Christ, Murph. There's 2 minutes left.
They played on both the Giants.
Go ahead, Marcus Johnson.
And no, they play on both the Giants and the Eagles.
But they were on the 2017 Super Bowl team.
Yes.
All right, good.
This is the easiest one.
I'm going with Marcus Johnson.
Okay.
Will Beatty, he was
with
the Giants.
What?
Will Beatty was with the Giants and the Eagles in 2017?
They picked him up late. They picked him up late.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Will Beatty?
Yes.
The Giants starting left tackle?
Yes. He was on the bench.
I was today years old when I learned this that Will Beatty was on that Eagles team.
I went with Marcus Johnson because I didn't think Will Beatty played until 2017.
I didn't either.
Well, you're saying it's easy. Well, you didn't know the guy existed.
There we go.
Once again,
is this the seventh question?
The ball goes back to the vet alumni scumbags sitting in 6 inches of cheesesteak grease in Philadelphia. Of these Giants and Eagles, which one has the most career regular season passing yards? A, Kerry Collins. B, Randall Cunningham. C, Donovan McNabb. D, Phil Simms.
Oh, that's a good one.
Who has the most career regular season passing yards?
Read the answers one more time, please.
Kerry Collins, Randall Cunningham, Donovan McNabb, Phil Simms, all legends.
Donovan's got like 30,000. Simms, I think Simms has a little more than Donovan. I think, like a touch. I think it might be Collins, but he played for a long time.
You know what?
He played for a long time.
We're already up 2-0. I'll agree with you.
We're gonna go Collins. We're gonna go Penn State.
I'm teetering, but
Penn State alumni.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Kerry Collins.
Bada bing, bada boom.
40,922. Randall Cunningham has 29,979. Donovan McNabb, 37,276. And Phil Simms, 33,462.
So Phil had less than Don.
Yes,
All right, yes, so 3-0, three questions left. So we can only tie now. We can't lose.
Yeah, you guys dominated last time too. All right. In the 2020s, the record between the Giants and Eagles is A, 3-1 Eagles. B, 2-2 tie. C, 3-1 Giants. D. There's no other answer.
Yeah, wait. So the last two seasons, I believe, they swept us last year, right? Giants beat us twice last year.
I'm not giving the answer, but yeah.
I was asking.
Yeah,
I think it's
2-2, I think.
That would be my answer.
The year before.
We blew a game against the Giants at some point too. So
Carson's last year would have been the one year he's talking about was Carson's last year with us. 2020, and then 2021 was Hurts' first year. So 2020, Carson only won like what they were like 4-13 or 4-12 or something, right? 5-11 Carson's last year. I think it's 2-2 technically.
I'm going to go 2-2.
I think 2-2 is the answer.
That is correct. 2-2.
There we go. That's it. That was the winning field goal.
That was just give us the last two questions just to
get. Let's just go. All right. So since you guys won again, is my New York Giants guys
go. Shut out.
Here, we're going.
Oh,
we're
never got a chance, really. Jesus Christ. Alternate. Just like in basketball.
Okay.
Like Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes.
These last two questions are double points. All right. These last two questions are double points. Each team gets a shot at the answer. Okay.
This is
now. There's still a win potential here for buyback or a tie. All right, you ready?
It's four nothing now. And go ahead.
It's 4-0, but these are double points. So these last two questions are worth 2 each. All right.
Of course,
they're the final bonus tiebreaker. Yeah. So if buyback can sweep these, if they can sweep these, then they win. I mean, then we go to tie.
They win.
Okay.
I'm trying to cheat here.
Oh my God.
DJ is the worst trivia host of all time.
You guys keep interrupting. You ready? Which coach has not been a member of either the Giants, of both the Giants and Eagles staffs? A, Joe Judge. B, Steve Spagnuolo. C, Tom Coughlin. D, Sean Payton.
Well, you're saying who has not been a member of both organizations?
Of both staffs, yes. Yes.
Who has not been?
Yeah, it's Tom Coughlin.
Okay, that's your answer for...
If the question is who has not been a member, then yes. It's
of both staffs. They had to be on both coaching staffs of the Giants and the Eagles.
Oh, they had to be on both
at one point in history.
Oh, if that's the question, correct. Then it's B. It's Steve Spagnuolo.
He was on both. Then.
Oh, he was. I'm confused. Is it was or wasn't a member of both?
One, three are a member. Three were a member of both staffs. One was not.
So we're looking for the guy that only was.
Then it was Tom Coughlin.
It was Tom Coughlin. Then.
Okay, that's your answer. And then Clapback, what's your answer?
I'm going with Joe Judge. I mean,
that's what I would say.
There's multiple answers here. What the fuck's going on?
No, there's not multiple answers.
Remember the Eagles?
Clapback is correct. Clapback is correct because.
What was the question?
Tom Coughlin answered.
Both. Steve Spagnuolo, let me finish here. Steve Spagnuolo was coached the linebackers and DBs of the Eagles from 99
before he became a Giants defensive coordinator.
Then he was Giants defensive coordinator 17 to 18, as well as 07 to 09, and then briefly the interim head coach 2015-17 at the end of it.
Well, was Coughlin an assistant in like 1975?
Coughlin was the 84-85 Eagles wide receiver coach. No. He was the wide receiver coach for the Eagles after right before
the Giants.
Right before Giants, and then he was Giants 88-90 wide receivers head coach.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Sean Payton was the QB coach in Philly 97-98. Giants QB coach 99-2000, and then offensive coordinator. That's a
Joe Judge is also the youngest at 40 years old.
Mississippi State,
Alabama, and then Patriots.
All right, last question.
From Philly.
All right, let's go.
Joe Judge is from Philly, but he never coached on the staff. Okay, so clapback 4-2 going into the 11th. Ready?
4-2
During the 2021 NFL draft. Listen. During the 2021 NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles traded up with the Dallas Cowboys from 12 to 10 to leapfrog the Giants and select wide receiver Devonta Smith out of Alabama. Who was the next player selected? A, Rashawn Slater. B, Michael Parsons. C, Kadarius Toney. D, Justin Fields.
Wait, they went up from 12 to 10?
They did. And then we were at 11.
Okay.
Who was the next player selected in that draft? After
at, what, at 12? Who was selected at 12 or 11?
Yeah, 11 would have been Justin at Fields. 11.
Fields. It was Fields.
Yeah, Justin Fields. Giants traded the pick.
That's your answer? Okay. And then, Vettel, I'll know what's your answer.
There's only one answer.
Well, yeah, I mean.
What up, Micah Parsons?
Yeah, I think
Darius Toney.
I would go, we would go a field.
The Giants traded the pick, you moron. That's it. We got it first. We buzzed. Let's go, Bip.
You got it. You won. All right. Well,
not really, we got
6-4. The Vet alumni won this game. You both got that answer right. Once again, we lose to Philadelphia. That wasn't the most low-hanging question ever, man. You know, people will forget. People get confused, maybe think that, maybe it's Parsons, whatever. So those are some well-crafted, elite questions right there.
All right, thanks again for your shitty hosting on trivia. Hold on, guys. Before they go, I just want to give them a chance to shout out their podcast real quick.
Yeah, thanks, Mage. It's at Vet Alumni Pod on everything. VET Alumni Pod.
Yes, sir.
And we appreciate you guys as always. And maybe the Giants can win 6 games this year.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate it. Go fuck yourselves. Take care.
Later, gentlemen.
Later, Cucks.
Oh, man. Always a good time. DG, you never disappoint with your trivia, DG. Never. If you give somebody the question right off the bat, and then if they never fuck up, how does the other team have a chance to come back?
I don't know, man.
You got to alternate, man. You did that last time, too. That's what fucked me up, man.
You fucked up the Will Betty cut. Question.
Yeah, when I said 61, everybody else went with 63. So fuck you, Murph.
You're right.
That was the one.
I was thinking Marcus Johnson safety, which is I think it's Indianapolis.
Beattie was a trick question.
Will Beattie started in 2009. He played one game for the Eagles that year, 2017.
Yeah, one game.
So
one game.
I mean. Yeah. I don't blame myself for not guessing Will Beattie.
When you said that, it like clicked. I did remember him getting picked up. Because I had like no random. Idea
the guy
wasn't
was
it,
still in the fucking league.
Wasn't it like a year and a half, though, after?
I don't know.
After we had cut him?
He got hurt Flowers rookie year. Remember Flowers rookie year was 15?
And then he came back. 15. He played right tackle.
So that was he got hurt. He got hurt.
Beattie got hurt and never came back.
We cut him. Yeah, he never came back to us.
Yeah.
We cut him. I don't think he played in 16. And then I think in 17 he got picked up late by the Eagles. That's
he played, he did play 16. He played 6 games, it says. But you're right.
He did
played one game for the Eagles.
One game. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't blame myself for that. Yeah. Do I remember the name Will Beattie? Absolutely. But I think he played for the Eagles in 2017. No, I did not. Sorry.
I was looking at it, and the names that I picked for the other ones, I just picked the most random names. Like the Corey Clement was kind of a trick. Like, hey, we signed him. We were all excited.
Yeah.
And then Marcus Johnson.
I wasn't sure if Corey Clement played a regular, but we caught him
before. Corey Graham. Corey Graham. It's like a combination of Derek Graham and Corey Clement.
What?
Or Brandon Graham.
Corey Graham was their kicker, right? No.
No.
I don't even know, man. I just looked at the roster and picked the most generic names. Fuck you all up.
DG. All right, boys. Any closing remarks? The Rangers are still down, Murph. 1-0.
Yeah. They're struggling tonight. Looking pretty gassed. But it's only,
they're only down one.
Yeah, it's only one, though. It's hockey, man. Hit me up in an hour.
Hey, Tampa Bay scored with 43 seconds left in the third, so you never know.
They did. All right.
My closing remark is this. This is the most dead period for NFL, like right now. I mean, we don't have the draft to prepare for. You know, we're not in season, whatever. So it's just going to – that's the great thing about the NFL is, like, in a month or so – or 2 months, whatever, we're going to be so excited about football, no matter how bad we think the team is, no matter whatever, we get our Sunday tradition back. And I can't wait, man, because I can't stand the summer. I want to be in September, October, November. Those are the best months of the year. So the NFL has done so much for our lives, man. It's brought us together as friends, you know what I mean? Just our fandom of the Giants. So we're in the purgatory period of our NFL obsession right now. But in a couple months, it's on, baby. It's on again. It's
I don't
never
know.
Gonna
the way
go away.
The way the last couple seasons have gone, DJ, I think I'm going to enjoy this summer.
I mean, he has a point. But that's hopefully the Rangers do something for us. And then, I mean, the Yankees and the Mets are good. I know you don't like baseball, DG, but
Mets are also holding their own without their top two pitchers.
Yeah, so I mean,
they split with the Dodgers.
Yeah. I'm looking at the pictures from today's practice. There's some guys that we signed that I didn't even realize were on the team.
Well, supposedly Art Stapleton that said that they were tryouts. So Keelan Doss.
Oh, yeah, because
Doss was
Austin Prohl.
No, Austin Prohl was we signed them.
Really?
Yeah, we signed them this offseason.
He come from the Ravens?
He's been around.
That's not who I thought it was. Never mind.
Cardinals?
The white Prohl. Oh, he's Cardinals. A Bill. He's been with the Bills.
Was he
twice.
With the Cardinals at any point or no?
He's with the Bills last year. Chargers, Niners.
Unless I'm thinking of, because he's related to Ricky Prohl, right?
The son?
Yes, it is. Son of Ricky Prohl.
Yeah. I think
dad that's, played for the Cardinals.
Yeah,
he
that's
played
what
for
I'm
the
thinking.
Giants, the Bills, too. Chargers.
Yeah, I remember Prohl and the Rams, man. Yeah. He was that veteran presence in the wide receiver room during the greatest show on turf. Mm-hmm. At that point, he's a little older than I think, bro. I think he was like about 30-ish. He's a good player. Everybody loves wide receivers for some reason, except Riley Cooper. I don't know why. You notice that everybody loves wide receivers.
And you haven't been drinking, but I think I'm going to end on this before you say anything else, though. So.
All right.
CG, any closing remarks?
Season can't come here soon enough. I look forward to going to Bears game. I'm coming out to MetLife from Wisconsin, so can't wait. It's going to be fun.
All right. If you come out to MetLife, we got to make sure that we all meet up for that game then.
Yeah, I hope so. It'll be fun.
Although Murph won't be there. Murph isn't going until the Giants over 500.
But don't blame him.
What game is that?
I think it's the fifth game of the season. Or no, it's early. It's like really
could
early.
Could be 5-0, man. Could be 4-0.
Yeah, they should beat the Bears.
I'm definitely down to attend at least 2 lit-ass tailgates and games with you all this year. Like that's I host games at my place. I cook peppers and eggs and Bloody Marys and stuff and have little parties on Sundays at my apartment. But I definitely want to go to at least 2 games, so let's all plan it out, man. We have a blast.
I'm only 15 minutes from the stadium, boys. So
you're right there, bro.
You let me know.
I'll let you
know. All right. That's going to wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace and love, everyone.